A recent U.S. Interior Department survey indicates more people are hunting and fishing in the country, which appears to be a reversal of a long downwards trend. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar announced the results in Milwaukee earlier this month, that the number of anglers has increased 11% since the survey was last done in 2006, and the number of hunters has gone up 9%. In this hour, we will talk about the number of people who are hunting and fishing in Wisconsin and the U.S., and the importance of the activities. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, August 27th. And we will wonder if you hunt or fish, and why or why not, or if you are planning on taking up either activity, or maybe get your kids involved. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dan Small, host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. He's the contributing editor of the Wisconsin Outdoor News. His website is dansmalloutdoors.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Good to talk with you again.
Yes.
So what is your reaction to this U.S. Interior Department survey that the number of hunters and anglers is going up?
Well, I'm not a statistician, but I read the reports every 5 years, and it may be good news, or it may just be a temporary blip in a long-term downward trend. We don't have statewide details. Those are state-by-state details. Those won't be released until later this year. And in Wisconsin, our trend has been downward for hunters and pretty stable for fisher persons in the last decade or so.
Right, that's what I recall. Lots of hand-wringing over the decline, especially in hunting in Wisconsin. Apparently, there's been a decline nationally, too, but maybe a reversal with these numbers released earlier this month. When you say just a temporary blip, what might be accountable for that?
Well, could be a number of things. This is just a survey. It's important to understand that this is not an account of how many people hunted or fished. It's a survey that's conducted by the U.S. Census Bureau every 5 years and has been since 1955. And what they do is they try to gather and report information on the number of people who fished, hunted, and actually did other wildlife viewing recreation. And I think the Census Bureau interviewed about 49,000 people, and they simply asked them, did you hunt or fish or watch wildlife last year, and do you plan to do it this year? So it's a sample. If the numbers are correct, that's a good sign. That's good news. But really the bottom line and what really counts is the number of licenses sold in each state, and that is the actual number of people who hunt and fish and contribute to conservation by their license dollars and by their equipment purchases. And that has been declining every year in Wisconsin for the last decade or so.
And what is causing that decline? Do we know?
Well, one thing, and again, I'm not a statistician, but I've observed this trend and I've talked to folks in DNR who watch it very closely. It's a question of demographics, for one thing. Baby boomers are aging, and a lot of, I forget what the actual average age of hunters is right now, but it's got to be in the 40s or 50s, and as the population, as this bump goes through the population that the boomers have represented, we're looking at a pretty substantial decline. That's one thing. Another thing is people are busier now. People have lots of demands on their time. Very few people actually live on the land as our ancestors did. There aren't as many people living in rural Wisconsin as there were even 20 years ago, and certainly not as many as 50 or 100 years ago. And kids today, and I know you've had Richard Louv on the show, and I've interviewed him myself as well, and he has documented a long-term decline in youngsters being outdoors and getting into the outdoors, whether they're just out for a hike or whether they're actually doing consumptive recreation, hunting, fishing, gathering wild food. So these are a couple of things, and there certainly are more, but those mm-hmm. are enough to work with, I think.
Yeah. Do we know if that new hunting law lowering the age for children to get out in the woods and be mentored by hunters, I think it was lowered from 12 to 10, if I'm not mistaken. Do we know if that has made a difference?
Well, it's certainly helping, but the number of kids, and I don't have the numbers right here. I know they are available on DNR website somewhere. The number of youngsters involved in mentored hunting programs and learn-to-hunt programs, it's not making up the difference of hunters lost. We're losing more older hunters than we are gaining younger hunters.
Mm-hmm. What does it matter if we lose hunters?
Well, some older hunters say, you know, it's a good thing because there'll be less crowding out there in the woods and more game for those of us who want to hunt. But actually, when you look at it from the standpoint of what hunters do and anglers too in terms of contribution, it's hunters and anglers who have paid for conservation in this in North America since importantly, since 1937, when FDR signed the Fish and Wildlife Restoration Act into law, there are excise taxes on hunting and fishing equipment, and actually birdwatching equipment, too, a lot of outdoor recreational equipment. And that money goes directly into conservation. It's distributed to the states proportionally according to their license sales. And license sales, of course, here in Wisconsin, and as far as I know, pretty much nationwide, are what support conservation, wildlife management, habitat management, surveys that are conducted here in the state. And so without hunters and anglers contributing those excise tax dollars and those license dollars, that source of funding would dry up. And also, I strongly believe that people who are outdoors hunting, fishing, hiking, enjoying our natural resources are the best watchdogs we have and the best stewards of our natural resources that we have. And I think if you lose a generation of people who care about the outdoors, they as they grow up, they will not be inclined to vote for conservation and for conservation-minded or natural resources-minded politicians and laws, and so we may lose the heritage and the tradition of supporting natural resources, outdoor recreation, and our way of life here in Wisconsin.
We're talking with Dan Small. He is host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin. We're talking with him about a recent survey by the U.S. Interior Department that shows the number of people nationally who say that they are hunting and fishing is growing after many years of declining. And we're wondering if you hunt or fish and why or why not. Have you taken it up in recent years or have you always been doing it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And are you concerned about these surveys, at least the past surveys, including here in Wisconsin, that show that there is a decline, especially in the number of people who hunt, the people who fish, those numbers are staying pretty steady. It's going to be a sunny, warm day today with highs between 78 and 85 degrees. Clear tonight with some patchy fog in the east, lows in the 50s and 60s, and a sunny, warm day again tomorrow with highs in the north in the upper 70s to the mid-80s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, August 27th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk about Wisconsin's role in the Republican National Convention in Tampa this week. Today's speeches and activities have been canceled due to Hurricane Isaac. They are expected to resume tomorrow, and the Ideas Network, starting tomorrow, not tonight, starting tomorrow, we will bring you special coverage of the Republican National Convention from NPR. You can join us for speeches and interviews and expert analysis. That's NPR's special coverage of the GOP convention tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. We are talking about hunting and fishing in Wisconsin and throughout the country. And whether or not these numbers are going up or down, a new survey by the U.S. Interior Department indicates that the number of people who hunt and fish is growing after many years of declining. We're talking about whether or not this is true, and our guest is responding to your questions and comments about heading outdoors and the importance of these activities in Wisconsin. And we wonder if you are concerned about how many people hunt and fish, and at least until this survey, showing that those numbers have been declining. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Are your kids interested in getting out in the woods or out on the water? Are you trying to get them off the couch and away from the TV? Our guest is Dan Small, host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this. Let's see, we have a caller. Katie in Clinton is with us first. Hi, Katie.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to say that we're probably a family that is driving those statistics up. We live right on Turtle Creek. My 11-year-old has been out fishing every single day. Actually, we've gone through three poles, and I've had to go out and buy an ugly stick now because he keeps breaking them. I have my two older boys have gone through that hunter safety course and now have graduated into their own deer stands, and my 11-year-old will be going out mentoring program this year. My 8-year-old daughter thinks that she's weird because she likes to hunt, or she's actually learning how to fish from her brothers, and when they bring the harvest home, I'm the one that butchers it. So she's right in there with me.
Well, that's fantastic, Katie. I mean, the whole family affair. And why do you think it's important that your family and that your kids are involved in hunting and fishing?
It's one of those things, especially this year. My kids really noticed what the drought did. Having the creek in our backyard, we noticed the difference in the wildlife. We noticed the difference in the patterns of the hawks and the eagles. We had a huge fish kill of all the minnows, and it made a big difference between fishing early in the year and fishing now. They're noticing that they've got a trail camera up for the deer, and the different wildlife that they see there's a difference now with this drought, and they can see that. They're understanding some of the cycles that we're going through and how it affects us.
So it's an education in the environment and conservation. And Dan Small, that's right. There's more to it than hunting and fishing.
Oh, absolutely. And Katie is doing exactly the right thing to ensure that at least her kids will carry on these traditions. And I think she pointed out some real critical things here. The kids were outdoors, and so they noticed that the drought had an impact on wildlife, that the creek was going dry. And people who don't get outdoors see the outdoors from the window of a vehicle at 65 miles an hour on the freeway might see brown cornfields and hay fields not as tall, but they won't see the kind of impact that the kids who get their feet wet and get into the woods and do the things that Katie's kids are doing will see, and then they're going to care about conservation.
Katie, thank you so much for sharing your story. How much did the economy play into these numbers, at least the national numbers, indicating an upswing in hunting and fishing? I noticed on some internet sites that people are saying it's because of the slow economy that more people are hunting and fishing for food.
Well, some people have said that. I've heard that from a number of people. There is a national trend, I guess you could call it a national trend, the paleo food movement, or the get closer to your food, the locavore movement. There are several young people blogging and writing books and teaching about it. Jackson Landers is one who has a book called Beginner's Guide to Hunting Deer for Food. He's in his, I think he's about 30 years old. He lives in Virginia, and he's teaching. He has city dwellers coming out and paying him good money for a seminar, and he takes them hunting, and then they cut up a deer, and they learn how to hunt without having that rural connection that, that Katie's kids have. Hank Shaw is another author. Hunt, Gather, Cook is his book. And there are many more, I'm sure. And in Wisconsin, you know, the DNR has a number of programs that are geared to teaching people how to hunt, not just learning to hunt, but actually hunting for food. Keith Warnke, the new DNR hunting and shooting sports coordinator, is actually teaching a class at MATC there in Madison starting Tuesday night. It's an adult hunter ed class, and those people are going to learn how to hunt and learn how to process the food and why they do, why people do it as well.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Dan Small from Outdoor Wisconsin about hunting and fishing, and a recent survey by the U.S. Interior Department showing that the number of people who are hunting and fishing is growing after many years of declining. And we're wondering if you are a part of this trend and why or why not. Do you hunt or fish? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, just on Friday, Dan, Governor Walker announced that that the state is going to stop this special hunt in the CWD zone in south central Wisconsin. Apparently, that October deer hunt was not popular, and he says that this is one of the most simple and effective ways we can show hunters that we are listening. Talk about this. Is this a big deal?
Well, to some people it's a big deal. The CWD zone is a good chunk of south central Wisconsin. I don't have the exact map in front of me here, but it's the area around Dane County and surrounding counties where CWD was discovered about 10 years ago. And the DNR has used a number of tactics to try to reduce the herd, and one of those was this October gun hunt. And the main opponents to it have been bow hunters, because it comes during the bow season. It disrupts their hunt. And also other recreationists, people who just like to hike or enjoy the fall colors or gather nuts and mushrooms and that type of thing. Many of them feel it's incompatible with hunters with guns in the woods. So, and this was one of the recommendations of the Kroll report, which was issued in June. And I think you know the history of that.
Right.
Governor Walker asked had the Department of Administration hire James Kroll and a team of two other biologists to come in and review deer management in the state. And one of their recommendations was curtailing or going more easy or relaxing the approach to controlling CWD. And this really was an easy thing to do. Simply stop that very small hunt in a specific area of the state. So,
do you think that implementing other recommendations of the Kroll report on deer hunting in Wisconsin is going to make a difference in the number of people participating in the sport in Wisconsin?
I think it'll, in the short term, make a difference in the attitude of deer hunters. I don't know if it'll increase the number of hunters. many deer hunters, many vocal deer hunters, I don't know what percentage of them statewide, but many vocal deer hunters have not been happy with the way DNR has managed the deer herd, and I'm not one of those people. I think they've done a darn good job over the years, with a few exceptions in some areas. And this report is recommending a lot of changes in the way deer are managed, and the DNR folks I've talked to, and I've been meeting with them because we produce an annual deer hunting TV show that's going to air in November. It's an hour-long special, and I've been meeting with some of the people on the deer committee, and they have said to me that some of these changes are things that they've wanted to implement for some time, so they are looking forward to implementing them. Others, they're wrestling with how do we do it, you know, how that's going to impact number of hunters, that remains to be seen, I think.
A real quick one from Jerry on Facebook. I was going through Dad's old tackle box yesterday. It's been many years, but I thought I would try some fishing again because Dad did and enjoys it so. I'm a catch-and-release fisherman. I could never eat, let alone clean, the fish I caught. But less than a minute, Dan, before news, that's contributing to the state's economy as well, right?
It certainly is, and maybe if he does enough catch-and-release fishing, he'll take a trout or a bluegill home and discover that they're good to eat as well.
Talking with Dan Small, host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin, about hunting and fishing and other outdoor activities in Wisconsin, and welcoming your calls, your questions, your reactions. Do you hunt or fish? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A recent U.S. Interior Department survey indicates more people are hunting and fishing in the country, which appears to be a reversal of a long downward trend. We are talking with a guest this hour about what might be behind the growth in hunters and anglers, and talking about whether the same is true in Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, August 27th. Hope you had a nice weekend. Did you do any fishing by chance? Do you plan to go hunting this fall? If you're not involved in hunting and fishing, are you involved in other outdoor wildlife activities of any sort? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dan Small, host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, contributing editor of the Wisconsin Outdoor News. His website is dansmalloutdoors.com. And Dan, we just heard in Wisconsin Public Radio News, I learned something new on Wisconsin Public Radio every day, that the Department of Natural Resources annual report on hunter recruitment and retention is out, and it shows 2,136 people participated in the agency's Learn to Hunt program in the year that ended June 30th, and that's 23% up from the previous year. The agency had hoped to boost participation by 5%. Nearly 450 participants were female. That's up 52% from the previous year. The report says the agency sold nearly 26,000 hunting licenses for mentors, a 12% increase. The DNR wanted to see a 2% increase. So anyone at least 10 years old can hunt without completing a hunter education course if he or she is out with a mentor hunter. So what do those numbers sound like to you?
That is good news, actually. When I heard that report, I'm online right now. I can't find it online, but you've given us the numbers. A 2%? They were hoping for 2%.
They were hoping for 2%, and they got a 12%.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's you know, they were being conservative in their anticipation, but they got a better result. Still, we're talking a couple thousand learn to hunt participants, and 26,000 is a significant number, the mentor hunting licenses. And I think that's going to increase. You know, some states don't have an age limit. I'm not suggesting that we do that here in Wisconsin. We had that debate a few years ago, and we reduced it to 10 for the mentored hunt. But some states, it's up to the parents to determine when Johnny or Janie can go out in the field and take a gun with them, just as parents decide when kids can start fishing.
Yeah, we've been concentrating on the hunting and fishing numbers throughout this hour, but this U.S. Interior Department report also looked at the other wildlife viewing activities, people who go kayaking or are out in the outdoors primarily to be a part of, a part of nature. Those numbers, I don't actually know. I mean, it sounds like those numbers are up as well?
I didn't see the percentage of increase or decrease. I just saw the total number, 71 million people engaged in wildlife watching. Now, that's not kayaking or biking or anything. It's actually birding or, you know, non-consumptive wildlife-related recreation. That number was reported in this survey, but that's all I know about it.
Rick in Wisconsin Dells wants to know, what is your opinion on the increased commercialization and overemphasis on the white-tailed deer trophy hunting? And how has that affected the hunting rates for other species and small game?
Well, let me take the second part of that first. I don't know if the increase in interest in trophy deer hunting is the reason for the decline, but the total number of hunters in Wisconsin has declined about 6% since the year 2000. Deer hunter numbers have declined about 10%. Small game hunter numbers have declined about 23% in that same period. So there's been a more substantial decline. I think with the tremendous increase in the number of television channels and shows about hunting, and with attractive young couples doing a lot of deer hunting and killing a lot of big deer, if you go to any of the deer expos around the state, you have a chance to meet some of these TV superstars, and they're really rock stars. Some of them travel with buses wrapped with their images, and their sponsors are spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars every year, and they attract great lines of people who want to be like them or want to kill big deer like them. This is definitely a trend. What do I think of it? You know, I'm not a trophy hunter. I'll shoot a big deer if it comes by, but I like venison, and I will shoot the first healthy doe that comes by if I have a doe tag. In fact, I pick up roadkill venison routinely because it's a good source of wild meat. Another trend that goes along with trophy hunting is stand hunting. Now, Katie mentioned, our first caller mentioned, her kids have their own deer stands. Tree stand hunting is a relatively new activity for rifle hunters or gun hunters. It's been practiced by bow hunters more than others. And what happens is you get up in a tree and you sit and you wait and you wait for deer to come by, and you're not out walking around in the woods. Now, you know, that's an oversimplification, but people who hunt only out of stands or out of these new box blinds that you can see in the corners of fields as you drive around Wisconsin don't see as much of the woods as Katie's kids do when they're out there fishing or collecting bugs or whatever else they do. So those are a couple trends that I think are disturbing.
I don't know, Dan, if you have anything to say about another comment Rick made. He wants to know, how has the overinflated price of land limited the availability of purchase power for people who would like to have their own hunting land?
Well, it certainly has. If you can't afford to buy or lease hunting land, then you're limited to hunting public land or relatives' land or friends' land. And as, you know, a trend that we talked about earlier, people moving off the land and into the cities, You didn't have to own your own land historically if you had an uncle or a cousin or a grandpa who had 40 acres or a 500-acre farm. You could go hunt there, but fewer of us have those connections now. So we either lease or buy land ourselves, or we hunt on public land. Now, there are millions of acres of public land in Wisconsin, so there's no shortage of it. However, that's where more hunters go. So, you know, there's more competition on public land. If you get off the beaten track, if you get in a half mile off the road, you'll get away from most of the hunters on most public land in the state, Bill.
Has anything happened in Wisconsin besides the hunter mentor program, the allowing 10-year-olds to hunt with a mentor? Has anything else happened in Wisconsin to encourage more hunting or more anglers for that matter?
Oh, sure. The DNR has three hunting-related programs. The mentored hunt is one, and it's the most recent one. There's also the youth hunt, which is held on specified days for waterfowl, deer, and, gosh, there may be a turkey as well. 2 days, one weekend, sometime before the actual regular season where only young hunters can participate, and they can be mentored hunters or they can be youth hunters who are already licensed and have taken hunter education. So that's one program. And then there's the, and we've mentioned this too, Learn to Hunt programs, which have been going on for at least a decade, I think, and that is open to anyone who has never hunted a particular species before. Usually these are organized by clubs or groups. There's a half day of training involved, there's hands-on fire involved, and then there is one-on-one mentored hunting for the species, whatever it happens to be, pheasant or waterfowl, turkey, deer, and so on. And that program has increased the number of hunters. But each of these programs is doing a little bit, and it's actually individual hunters and individual families like Katie's family who take their kids or neighbor kids or who join clubs that have an interest in Learn to Hunt or Learn to Fish programs that are going to make a bigger difference. We really need to have, you know, a statewide movement, a nationwide movement of baby boomers and their kids taking their kids and their grandkids out, and that's what's going to turn this around.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Dan Small. We only have Dan with us for another few minutes. If you have a question for him or a reaction to this survey that shows that the number of hunters and anglers in the country is growing, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, looking ahead, do you see that this trend of more people hunting and fishing continuing, Dan Small?
Well, I hope so. As I mentioned at the outset, I don't know what Wisconsin's actual total license sales are yet for 2011, but the hunting numbers have been declining steadily. Fishing has been staying pretty much the same. But it's going to take a concerted effort of people who are already into these sports to recruit new participants and mentor them and show them why it's fun to hunt, that it's a great recreation, part of our national and natural heritage, and it's a good source of natural, sustainable, what some people call green food, as well as a great way to support conservation. So that message and that mentoring is what it's going to take, I think, to keep increasing or to slow the decline of participants.
So what do you say to people who just do not have any desire to hunt or to fish for that matter? Are there elements of these activities that are beneficial to them, even if they're not participating?
Well, they should know that no one's forced to do it. They should know that hunters and anglers do pay for conservation, and that many of the wildlife areas and recreation areas that they might enjoy hiking in or you know, bird watching or whatever sports are paid for in part, not totally certainly, but in part by hunter and angler dollars, so that you know, those who do consume natural resources are contributing to sustaining and you know, and purchasing more natural resources. I do say to them, give it a try. You know, my wife was a vegetarian for 30 years, and about 5 or 6 years ago, I'll try to make the story short. She wanted to learn to go deer hunting, and you could have knocked me over with a feather. I said, "You're kidding." She said, "No, you know, I want to, you know, we eat venison." She, you know, changed her diet in the last 10 years, but about 5 years ago, she said, "I think I better learn how to hunt in case I have to gather my own food." So I got her a rifle. She sighted it in opening day of deer season a few years ago. We went out. She had asked me, you know, where do you shoot a deer to kill it cleanly and humanely? And I showed her. And I'll be darned if she didn't take the heart out of a doe at 100 yards with her first and only shot at a deer. And she said, "Well, I can't believe I did it, but I've done that, and now I know I can do it." She's shot one turkey since then, but, you know, hasn't deer hunted again. But she knows she could if she needed to. And, you know, and she knows it's important to me, and I think she wanted to experience that.
Yeah, well, now we have callers and very little time, but let me take one last call from Mike in Dane County. Mike, we're just about out of time, but what point did you want to make?
Oh, just a quick point. I'm a longtime hunter, and I really enjoy being outdoors, but one thing you recognize over time and experience and taking animals, because, you know, part of hunting is taking the life of that animal, is that we as human beings are a part of the ecology, a part of the environment, and you may not experience that when you live separately from it, but when you get outdoors and you participate in it, you have a newfound kind of respect for your part in the whole. So I guess that's all I really needed to say, and I thought that'd be worth telling you.
Thank you very much. Might be a good place to leave it there. Dan Small, thanks very much for being with us.
You bet. Thank you, Joy.
Dan Small, host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin. Checking our weather forecast for today. It's going to be a sunny, warm day today with a high of 78 in the north, 85 in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It is time now for the Monday morning wake-up call. Today, it's on Wisconsin's apple crop, which is disappointing this year. With us is Steve Lewis, president of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association and owner of the Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, you know, I said it's disappointing, the Wisconsin apple crop. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, it sure is. It's been a rough year in many different ways for the apple crop, and the level of the crop around the state is varied and down quite a bit at best.
Yeah, it says here from the Agricultural Statistics Service last week says 61% decrease in apples from last year's production totals. That's a lot.
Yeah, and I would say in some areas it's quite a bit more than that. There's pockets that survived the early spring weather, but there's a vast majority of the area that are down 80% or even more.
So what happened?
It was that early warm weather there in March that got things started, and then once the blossoms and the buds start moving, you know, you just can't go backwards, and when we got that cold weather, there was a lot of blossoms that got frozen.
Yeah, so the crop is early but small, is that right?
Yep, we are most places 2 to 3 weeks ahead of normal, and with the dry weather, not only is the a bushel amount small, but a lot of the apples themselves are a little smaller too with the dry weather this summer.
So what about my beloved Honeycrisp?
They're most like most all the other ones in places they're, you know, it's down with the rest of the crop. In other areas, there are some. You know, not all the orchards got hit, so the best thing is to check with your local orchards and see what they have. And if they don't have anything, maybe try out a new orchard. Call around and check on the Wisconsin Apple Growers site, and and might be a year that you might have to travel a little farther.
Yeah, that's what I saw, that there were some orchards that were saying, hey, we've got plenty of apples, but others were saying, you know, we may not even do a pick-your-own event.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It just depended on, you know, the temperatures in those areas and a lot of it. The southwest corner seems to be a little better than other areas of the state, but check around, and maybe this year it's time, you know, for a new adventure, but call your local orchard first and see how they fared.
Apparently the pick your own is being canceled in some orchards because they have too much waste of people, you know, dropping apples on the ground. They can't afford it this year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's, you know, with the small crop, the amount you have is very valuable, and with the rough growing conditions, the apples themselves are, you know, there's a few more number twos showing up, and so I think many of the growers want to pick that crop themselves and evaluate it themselves for maybe other options.
So what does this mean for the prices of apples?
They're up quite a bit this year. A lot of places they're up, 30%. I know for us, we sell quite a bit of our crop to the grocery stores, and the price is up, but it's up from what a normal local market crop is. It puts it in kind of more in line with what your out-of-season apples that are coming in from Washington or coming in from other places. So it's not like, the price of apples is way up over normal. It's just up from what the normal local apples would be.
So when is the peak time for apples, picking or otherwise? When do you suggest people go if they want to take part in this year's local crop?
Boy, they can start right now. We're about 2 to 3 weeks ahead of normal, so normally it'd be mid-September, but we're really just about in full gear right now going. The next 2 to 3 weeks and then clear on through mid-October and even late October are all great times to go.
Yeah, so I know you're the president of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association, but how is your orchard doing, Oakwood Fruit Farm?
We've got a nice crop this year, down from normal, but we probably got 70% of a normal crop, so we're feeling very lucky. And overall, the quality of ours is really nice. Size is a little smaller with the drought that we had, but we're just very thankful to have a nice crop of apples.
Barbara on Facebook says, I live in southeast Wisconsin. The apple tree in our yard had a huge crop last year, nothing this year. I had grand plans for applesauce and apple butter, but I find myself grateful that my apple tree is still alive after this brutal summer. Your trees are still alive anyway?
Yeah, but we did a lot of hand watering. You know, the early weather didn't get cold enough to do, you know, that kind of injury to them, but the drought this summer really was hard on them. But by watering and irrigating, we were able to save most all our trees.
So are there going to be other goodies like baked goods and ciders and apple butters and that sort of thing at the orchards as well?
Yep. Those things should be fairly normal. Cider price, is probably going to be up along with the increased value of the apples. A lot of places, they may be open, but they may be open for a shorter season this year.
All right, and all that information is on what website?
The Wisconsin Apple Growers, just put in WAGA. Or Wisconsin Apple Growers, and then that should bring up, and that'll give you a list, take you to the website, and then give you a list and of all the orchards in the state that you can give a try.
Well, I will. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yep, thank you.
Steve Lewis, president of the Wisconsin Apple Growers Association, owner of the Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center, issuing today's Monday morning wake-up call. The apples are there. Shorter supply and smaller in size, but check it out, and check it out soon if you want to take part in the local apple crop. If you have an idea for a Monday morning wake-up call, something we should be aware of, you can always email us, talk@WPR.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Cynthia Schuster, and to Amanda Magnus for producing these hours. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.